Hi, this is Matt Groening, creator of Lisa's Spikes. Welcome to an all-star jam-packed DVD commentary of episode 4F01, Lisa's Date with Density, first broadcast December 15th, 1996.
Hi, I'm Susie Dieter, and I directed this episode.
This is Yardley Smith, and I am the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Hi, this is Mike Scully, and I was just mopping up the studio, and they let me sit in on the commentary.
Hi, this is Nancy Cartwright, and besides Bart, I also play Kearney Nelson, Sherry, and Nelson's brain in this episode.
This is Josh Weinstein, executive producer and showrunner. I want to add that Mike did write this episode as well, but he is also our janitor.
Guy has been downhill ever since.
Hi, Alex Rocco. I play Roger Myers Jr., the creator of Itchy and Scratchy.
And he is not in this episode, but he's here today to talk about it. Now, one thing that struck me, because a lot of these episodes you might gather from the commentaries, like, we haven't seen them in like 10 years until we get the DVD and watch it the night before and desperately think of things to say. And something that really struck me about this episode, besides being great, is you have to do sort of a head adjustment, because it's not a jokey Jokenheimer episode. But what it is,
what does that mean?
That there's jokey jokes made by jokey Jokenheimers. But what this episode has that is
these
so...
These technical terms are very complicated.
Yeah. It's three jokey jokers. But what's so great about this episode, I think it's one of the most character-y episodes that we did, where if you watch everyone from Chalmers and Skinner to Lisa and Nelson, everyone behaves so true to themselves and almost like they're real people, that if you watch the episode and just listen to the lines they say, it's so real and great.
We need to get this on the radio. They could do The Simpsons on the radio, Simpsons Radio Hour.
Wasn't this one that we performed live?
This is the one.
I just found that out today. I never knew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Susie didn't know that.
And Edinburgh and Aspen.
And Aspen.
Toronto.
And Montreal.
Montreal. Yeah. Right.
So I have a question for Mike Scully. I know that oftentimes you would base stories on your five daughters. Five, yes?
Yes.
And was this inspired by anything, or did they say, Mike, you write this one, and they just forked it over to you?
No.
No way.
Oh, this actually was not...
Put the broom down and...
This was not inspired... this is one of the few that was actually not inspired by something that happened to them or anything. Although they did contribute... a song later in the movie that Nelson sings about beheading teachers. They gave me the words to it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I recently performed that in front of a group of 7th and 8th graders in Baton Rouge and got, you know, the eagle or the cold eye from the teacher. She didn't appreciate it. The teacher didn't like that song. I didn't understand that.
The humor.
So, I was trying to remember where the telemarketing thing came from, too, and I, for the life of me, could not remember. And I saw in a book it said that the number that Homer dials, 555-001, is a reference to Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah, who can tell?
I have no idea.
It's probably a reference to every single movie ever made where there's a phone.
I know, yeah.
But now part of it is based on Rebel Without a Cause, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The Lisa Nelson story, the Bad Boy story, and there's a lot of your visual references.
The Observatory, right? Is similar to the one in Rebel Without a Cause.
It is. It's the Griffith Observatory.
It is.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is also the one in Rebel Without a Cause.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, there you go.
Yep. And I think the B story was one. Was it kicking around? And we thought it was like a good sort of silly antidote to be more serious love story.
I know we wanted a silly Homer story to balance off the love story, but I can't remember where it came from. I know we were kicking around the idea of Lisa and Nelson for a while, and there was a few different ideas, versions pitched on whether or not they got together or not, but however reason, we wound up here.
Coming up here, they're going to open up his locker. Now, you got to check out what's in there. Look at that. See?
The Honda.
I can't believe that we got the right to use the Honda and Hyundai logo.
Well, apparently there's a crystal ball, a box of two-star brand cigars, a glove, a football, a bat, a mitt, a shoe, a baseball, a book, and a red toy plane, all crammed in his locker.
That's not so... Why is he hiding that? It's not like there's a gun or a knife. I'm not going to hide
it. It's really not very valuable stuff.
It's stolen.
First, you're going to give back everything you've stolen, then I'm sentencing you to 1 week of the lowest.
And part of what I like about this episode, too, is we felt by season 8 we could start to explore the secondary characters, including, like, Nelson. It's like we always wanted to do episodes where we figure out what makes these secondary people tick. And this episode does a little bit to explain why Nelson is the way he is.
I think that's one of the strongest things the show does, is that it really does go into the psyche of the characters. And this episode, to me, I love all the episodes that are sort of fish out of water. And this is Nelson. He actually really tries, when Lisa gets a crush on him, to be what she wants him to be.
Well, it's
and
kind
it's
of
very
sweet.
Don't you get
it's
the idea that this
is,
she's the first person that ever really cared about him?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And he doesn't know how to deal with it.
And I loved his change of outfit.
Yeah.
You kind of cleaned him up a little bit.
Well, what woman hasn't tried to change a man?
Ain't it the truth? And
you
even starting at age 8.
That's why I glad that there's a number of ladies in the room, because it seems like when we were doing this, at least, like, we were pretty young and inexperienced, but it seems like there's a lot of the women's perspective about relationships and stuff, even though it's transposed to 8-year-olds. But
I think that's true.
People were saying before, every girl goes through a fascination with a bad boy.
Every girl. Every girl. And it's, some of them never leave, but...
Yeah, sure, I do. I have 5 girls, and this episode did... They were very young at the time, but it did prepare me for the losers that would eventually become their boyfriends.
Oh,
if you guys are listening.
Well, but look, Marge has a line later that is very telling about why she's still married to Homer.
Yeah.
Explains everything.
Well, it's poignant. It's a bit insightful.
I also enjoy that we put Mr. Largo in a bigger starring role in this episode.
You know what's funny is that Mr. Largo, his sexual identity was only kind of hinted early on, and now they just hit you over the head with it in the episodes they have now. it's cool because, Nelson is, the one kid who doesn't listen to anybody, he doesn't follow any rules, he just, goes to the sound of his own horn or whatever, but, Lisa is someone who always follows the rules, and she's, attracted to this person who is so outside the box.
Yeah, I think it's like the yin and the yang, and I love that one of the best things I think we also do is you have to maintain all the children's senses of humor, even no matter how sophisticated they may be. So I love that Lisa looks out the window and thinks what Nelson is doing to Willie is funny.
Well, I love that about also Mr. Largo. He had her write, "I will not be a snickerpuss."
Right.
I mean, who would come up with that word besides somebody like Mr. Largo,
Hey, you're doing that the stupid way. If you use that...
Nelson has, no filter, no sensitivity whatsoever. He just comes
was
out
that,
and says it, even though his intentions are pretty good with Lisa.
Mike, was that sort of a tip of the hat to the Brits when, the stealing of the, the H from the car and also the, what was the other thing, the Free Willy? Because they're kind of English references. Because there was some scam going on that when they would steal Jaguar, they would steal the Jaguar car ornaments.
Right.
It's a big scam that went on over there.
Oh, no, I
did
didn't
know that?
But did not.
Yeah. They steal ornaments here, too.
We started this trend.
Yeah.
No, we probably did.
I think we actually tried to figure out if you could do that thing with the 5 chalks, if that would actually work. And it only really works on the eye.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why we dissolved it all being written after.
But it's perfect. It's brilliant that way.
Because technically that chalk thing is to draw the lines for the music.
Right.
Just in case you didn't know.
And how many guys have gone through this?
Oh, tragedy, isn't it? Where Milhouse thinks it could be me. And
yeah, but watch how he fights. Watch the milk thing. This is good.
But yeah, guys, kids, if you're out there and growing up, it's nice to be a nice guy, but when you're trying to get the ladies,
steal a hood ornament.
Yeah.
Right?
Do something bad.
Otherwise, you'll have to wait to be somebody's second husband.
Looks like Jimbo's kind of having a spaz attack in the back there.
What's funny is that at one point he's fighting this nice guy image, and yet he can't escape it.
He can't escape it.
Now, I think this joke, I believe this was Bill Oakley's thing about Milhouse passing the note to Nelson in class.
Yes, and his.
I remember Bill doing the eyebrows thing in the room when we were working on it.
It's luckily Milhouse has very expressive eyebrows.
Yeah.
For the joke coming
up. He's pretty much the only character we could do it with.
That's right. He's the only one of the only guys except the one-eyebrowed baby.
This is great.
I love this line coming up.
There's debate about how roughed up Milhouse could be without being horrible and being too horrifying, but the drop of blood is a nice touch.
We had to pack his ears with gauze. Classic. I believe that was George Myers.
It sounds like it could be.
Or was it you?
No, it's not me. Not me.
I love how brave she is here.
I know, Lisa's always taken a chance. I admire her for that.
I don't think I would have been that brave.
I don't know that I would have either.
She's so honest, you know? Painfully honest.
This is great. The Yardley and Nancy, you guys are just great here with the awkwardness of the conversation, you know, at this stage for kids to try and put together a date.
You know, it was mentioned a little earlier in this commentary, but yeah, this is the show that we would go out, and the audience, when we go live with this, they really got the visual of what was happening. It was read to them, of course. But they could just picture it in their minds.
This is great.
This is so awesome.
Just the way
he's sitting on the bed, he's just like a guy in a girl's bedroom at that age.
Right?
He just feels so awkward.
This is so funny.
That's Dan Castellaneta's Snowball, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I love that it's toenail clippers. It's so perfectly mundane and believable. It's not really a joke, but it's good.
Yeah, and he felt compelled to come into a room and tell her this, whatever it was about the toenail clippers.
Don't ruin this for me, Bart. I think he's starting to like me.
Milhouse likes you.
Oh, please. Milhouse likes Vaseline on toast.
Now, that's based, Vaseline on Toast is based
is
on
you?
A kid I knew.
I
couldn't believe he would, every day he'd get on the bus, and he'd have this piece of toast, and he was like, nom, 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 and it would look good, and it was like, what is it? It's Vaseline on toast.
Get out. You're kidding me.
You can do that. I don't hold me responsible, but it's very healthy. In fact, the guy who invented...
It's not very healthy.
The guy who invented Vaseline had a big teaspoon of it every single day of his life.
And he lived to be 41.
But he did, so I don't try it.
I give my cat something similar.
Sure, but it's your cat.
maybe the guy
and
has hairballs.
And flavoring in it. I love this.
This gag is so good.
What's good about it, too, is that Homer doesn't react to the fact that it's going somewhere.
Nope.
He just, like, expects it, and it's like, oh, no. But it's not odd to him that a thing is wheeling itself out of his house.
This is
actually felt bad
sad.
When he snapped the legs off of it.
I love that Lisa's so accepting.
Yeah.
Except, of course, when she sees Nuke the Whales, and then all, you know... That's
well,
the worst part about it.
She's trying to find a common ground.
Yes.
She's trying.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say she necessarily accepts it, but she moves on to the next thing when she doesn't like what she sees.
She just keeps trying. You gotta love her for that.
Oh yeah, this is the song I had asked the kids like what they were singing on the playground at that time. What were the hot things? It was this one.
What happened to her body? We flushed it down the potty and round and round it goes.
It's like number 5 on the all-time kids.
Yeah.
No way.
One thing, great animation, Susie, on that. All the poses and the playing the guitar and the Chuck Berry duck walk and everything's great.
Thank you.
I like the details in his room.
Yeah, well, this is part of the sequence where you really understand Nelson a little better, and
absolutely.
a little sad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, it's just like, you imagine a kid like that just goes home to his empty house and falls
There's
asleep.
No parent there to greet him. There's no, you know.
Well, I think he's probably, it looks like they converted his garage into a bedroom.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite lines.
Women are quitters.
What?
When I first met your father, he was loud, cruel, and piggish. But I worked hard on him, and now he's a whole new person.
To me, this explains why Marge is still married to Homer.
Absolutely.
After all the years.
Yeah, this is how she gets through life.
Keep telling yourself things.
Yeah.
And it's sweet of Lisa to eventually corroborate and realize this is the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
I love the name of this store. Who thought of that?
That's an old store.
Another episode.
It is.
For a while.
Do you remember
the
origin
geek.
Of it?
It said
it's
it was
brilliant.
Lisa the Geek.
Oui, Monsieur.
That's what it was from.
For what?
Lisa the Geek.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, oui, Monsieur. It's so brilliant.
Okay.
Now, this is beautiful.
This is beautiful.
Look at that shot.
I have to give props to Tim Bailey and Trevor Johnson. They were the background artists on this show. And Tim Bailey is actually my assistant currently, but and Trevor still works on the show, and these are just remarkable backgrounds. They're beautiful.
Well, you were looking at the credits for this show, the animation credits, and what did you...
Yes, actually, I'm looking at it, and I only see three people who don't work on the show anymore. Everyone else is still working on it, which is amazing in animation. I mean, that never happens.
Well, those three are in prison.
So. Well.
they can't work.
I love the different perspectives on the kiss.
Yeah.
That...
I like his saddle shoes.
So does that mean that they were kissing for that entire commercial?
Right, it was like 4.5 minutes.
That's implied, yeah. Bring it
out. Yeah, that was pretty rocking.
Look at his hair.
Stud. He's a little stud.
The sequence is, it's some of the best dialogue.
That is so gay.
I'm so gay.
It's so sad.
It's so very real. There's a great actor, Ann Nelson, behind Lisa. Too.
I like your shadows. Look how you...
These are Paul Wee layouts.
Nobody calls me a crumb bum.
Hey, the word crumb bum was really hot at the time, I recall. all the kids were saying it.
It wasn't charlatan, which is coming up, became a big thing among kids.
That's how she went to have a fig bar. There's a lot of product placement in this episode, now that I look at it.
But notice that we stopped using brand names because we learned in season 7 no one ever sent us stuff. Like we did like Chicken Tonight, Elvis Brand. Nobody sent us a single thing.
We really tried hard. We got nothing. One time, the company Breath Assure sent us a big case of Breath Assure in advance, and they said, would you please mention our product on the show? So I remember we wanted to put it like, hey, Mario, did you hear Breath Assure causes cancer?
That's maybe not what they meant.
Yeah.
No.
We do negative product placement.
Yeah, yeah.
You got rid of them, and you did it like a gentleman without any violence.
Yeah, I know you don't like that stuff.
So if that's the Griffith Observatory, does that mean that's Hollywood outside there?
Oh, I'm just saying that's our reference directly from there.
I always love the lighting on the auto dialer there with the cat's tail going up
that
and down.
That was fun. That was fun. It was a way to transition.
Just unplug the phone.
Greetings, friend.
Bang.
I told you to unplug the phone.
But it could be my mother. Shoot!
That is it, Ned. If you don't unplug that phone right now, you're sleeping on the lawn.
Will you do?
Dan and Harry and Maggie.
Oh,
well,
this is.
So the inside of Scare's house looks like the Bates Motel.
Mm.
Now, is that a note from the writers, or is that a collaboration with?
I didn't realize that until I read it in the packet last night.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't know, Vetti. I don't think that was ever said.
I think
it was
that's just how we did it.
Yeah. Isn't that a comment from the internet? Somebody might have.
Well, the scene played that way, so we just made it look like Psycho.
Oh, wow.
See, that's great.
But then the Venetian blind things is more of a, you know, a kind of a war movie, because, you know, Skinner's a veteran and he's all...
Right.
A little skittish.
So I can tell the police.
Seymour, what's going on?
That usually doesn't
this
work.
This is my favorite Tress McNeil Skinner's mother scene.
Oh, it's got to end with that horrifying scream. That
yes.
is so good.
I don't think you could do that now on the show, right?
Nope.
You can't be X-rated. Are you kidding me?
Wait.
You
Now here, what's amazing is when we needed to, the cops in Springfield are really good.
Yep.
Like they came within a matter of minutes, and then they're on the case later too.
Now their response time is really impressive.
Cops are chasing me. I need a place to hide.
Lisa's window is the next one.
I love that.
I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
Shut up!
And this is also a little bit like Rebel Without a Cause too.
That's so unfair.
Uh-oh!
Meet me at the back door.
Aha! How does William know to come to the Simpsons house for Nelson?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, cops have those instincts.
Sure, sure.
Hey, who shot the auto dialer?
Marge's auto dialer.
See you in court, Simpson. Oh, and bring that evidence with you. Otherwise, I got no case, and you'll go scot-free, you know.
Chief, what about those coleslaw punks?
Well, I can't be everywhere at once, Lou. Now, can I? You know, in most cities, the chief of police doesn't even go out on calls like these.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was a realization in the room while we were writing it.
Yeah,
it was always going out on these little calls.
How do we wrap it up without Homer being in too much trouble? Oh.
Thanks for helping me out. You're a stand-up. I love the little red jacket.
Check it out. Oh, yeah.
What I like about it, too, is it's really sweet, but Nelson is still Nelson, but
yeah, he never
like
stops being Nelson.
Absolutely. It's brilliantly true to the character.
I thought you weren't there.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I guess I was.
You lied to me.
Nuh-uh.
There, you did it again.
All right. I lied. I'm sorry. Let's kiss.
A tip about relationships, never lie. It's the worst thing you can ever do.
Yeah.
To it.
I was foolish to think I'd actually changed you. Maybe I was seeing things in you that weren't really there.
Definitely.
Then why did you...
I could have used Lisa Simpson when I was about Lisa Simpson's
age.
She's so perpetually disappointed by everyone. And yet she rebounds. I love that about her.
But as Homer Simpson says about lying, Marge, it takes two to lie, one to lie and one to listen.
See, now, I love how she adapts to Nelson's sensibilities. Smell you later.
And she also, took responsibility for trying to make him something he wasn't as opposed to saying, you're a bad guy.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
The animation of this dog is so perfect. I wish there had been more of Milhouse's dog.
Like, it's so simple when you're eight.
Yeah.
He's a bit robotic, but he's kind of cute.
The last frame is just so great, the freeze on this. Because we don't usually do freeze frame.
The dog.
That's what happened to the dog. It died shortly after.
The joke that comes after is, I was screaming last night. I was laughing so hard.
Hello, this is Homer Simpson, a.k.a. Happy Dude. The court has ordered me to call every person in town to apologize for my telemarketing scam. I'm sorry. If you can find it in your heart to forgive me, send $1 to Sorry Dude, 742
Brilliant.
Evergreen Terrace.
Oh, that was great. Again, so true to the character. Never let up.